South Carolina. One touchdown.
Look at us.
Remember this guy? Vasante Shenko.
Oh, yeah.
The tight end.
Vasante Shenko, yeah.
Vasante Shenko.
It's an all-time name.
All-time name.
You say Bernard that, Varian. I say Vasica Hema.
Vasica Hema hit the goalpost, yeah. Boxing. Old Philadelphia Eagle. Matt knows him very, very well. Very, very well. By the way, before we get back into our question and our show, we were talking about the O Club and Fight Night. It was all great. And hopefully David E. House is thinking about a plan B in his life. No, he's 26 years old, living on his mama's couch.
Oh,
David
bro,
E. House, he's a roaster. But we gotta make some things happen in life, buddy. Can't be roasting all your life, if you know what I mean. Shout out to the Knee Houses. They were great. Everybody was out there great.
People.
Great great
and
crew.
We're giving you smack. We're just talking smack.
Yeah, I know. He does it. But I got to say one guy that I am going to talk smack to.
Who's that?
And I don't know if I'm going to take it back. It's our boy, Mikey Williams.
Williams. He loves you.
No, he doesn't love me. He loves to try to beat me in everything, and he fails at it over and over and over again. So we're in the college pick'em pool together, and he comes to the Olympic Club. Mike Williams, you know him.
Yeah.
And whenever you read it to him before I did yesterday.
Yeah. Talked my ear off.
And then he sent the selfie.
I did the George Carlin. Like, I got to go that way, dude.
Right.
I have somewhere to be.
And then he sends this intense selfie, and he's got the George Jefferson head. I mean, Mikey Williams, just let it go, baby.
That's
I love
fair.
You.
That's not
just,
fair.
Just let it go, Mikey Williams. You know, we're not coming up to near 30 East Side, right? Wait, come on, man. You got the George Jefferson going on. So Mikey Williams is just, he's one of a kind. But everybody says, Mike Williams is a lot. Is a lot. Well, and he's a lot. But we love him.
So let's pivot back into the Niners. So you and I are at the game, and like everybody, we find out, oh my God, like an hour before the game, what CMC's not going to play? And look, that happens, right? There are people that are game time decisions. That happens in any sport across the board. And then Jordan Mason at the end of the game says, you know, I kind of found out Friday, but he was a little overwhelmed. And everyone's losing their minds because, oh, if the Niners knew Friday, they have to disclose that and this and the other. And I see so many different responses to this. And I don't gamble, right? So maybe I'm not the right vehicle to have this conversation. I want to hear from people who feel passionate one way or the other. But I get a text like this. Because the NFL embraces daily fantasy and wagering, yes, I feel like they owe me as someone who buys into their business model. They created this. They owe me more transparency. But I also understand, like, hey, there's a gamesmanship aspect to this that I kind of feel like they don't owe anyone anything.
Wow. 650, interesting. There should be an investigation to see if anyone plays big bets on CMC unders. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it, but that is very interesting to know if there were some big bets made on a Friday or a Saturday on CMC prop bets. But it impacts everything, fantasy, and it's the Monday night game. So a lot of people have CMC that probably don't have Jordan Mason as the backup, and they're scrambling for a replacement during their fantasy matchups. So some people do feel old to it. But I understand the team's position.
For sure.
Protecting the player, protecting the team's psyche, and the players. The most important thing about this whole thing, the most important part is the team knows what's going on with Chris McCaffrey. The players on the team know what's going on with Chris McCaffrey. The front office, they all know what's going on with Chris McCaffrey. And that, to me, is the only people who should know what's going on with Chris McCaffrey. For what we know, he's got a calf strain and an Achilles. He's got Achilles tendonitis. That, to me, is serious enough to know that, boy, this may be a long-term injury. But do they owe us and owe the fans anything to disclose entire injury? I can't subscribe to that.
Well, like, okay, remember when Jimmy was in that playoff run and come to find out he had, like, a hurt shoulder the entire time?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of would have been nice to know that, wouldn't it have been?
I mean,
if you're good, because here, it's not the team. See, to me, it's not on the team. It's the league itself. Like, if you're going to take all the gambling money and you're going to provide all the lines and all that stuff, because, you know, they're all in bed with these companies. There is some level of accountability that has to be had.
But
I don't think the team necessarily should be held over. This is more of a league issue.
But if we know that Jimmy has a shoulder injury, right? The other team knows he has a shoulder injury. Think about the Packers game. This is a perfect example, actually, I think it is. Deebo has a shoulder injury against the Cleveland Browns. the playoff game. Didn't it look like Jair Alexander was targeting that same area with the shoulder injury?
Especially after I saw the receiver dock, the way he hit it. It was like, ooh, yeah. And like they were all like, oh, yeah, that was a spot to
hit. That was a spot.
100%.
So if 100%. It's disclosed about Jimmy Garoppolo during that playoff run, those other teams are like, we're targeting that shoulder. We'll put the bullseye on that shoulder. And at times you can't protect that shoulder, and then you lose your quarterback. We hear it all the time, especially in football and a little bit in hockey as well. We always hear about, oh, that guy was playing with a broken collarbone. Oh, that guy was playing with no cartilage in his knee. You have to protect the player, and you have to protect your team. So I'm in the mindset of they don't owe us a damn thing when it comes to disclosing injuries.
Well, it's interesting because like I feel similar to you, and yep. I feel like this whole thing is not that it's blown out of proportion because I get the gambling aspect of it, but as a non-gambler, to me, it's like, I'm not moved one way or the other. But Sam, I don't think Sam gambles. Sam, you were like, no, I don't like when my team lies to me.
Well, hold on real quick.
And I'm like, I don't know if it's lying.
As a resident gambler, I dibble and dabble.
Yeah.
No one, I look at the injury reports. This is why when people make bets on the Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm like, why? I'm waiting until 9 o'clock when the inactives are out. Number one, and then the injury reports. And I'm monitoring it every single day. I'm reading every piece of information. Was he limited? Did he not partake? Is he doubtful? Is he probable? Is he questionable? Now there's no probable. It's just questionable, doubtful, and out. So that's on the gambler to be paying attention to what the hell's going on. That week said, oh, there's a chance Christian may not play. So therefore, I'm going to back up off the bet. And that's on the gambler. I put that on the gambler for not paying attention to seeing what's going on during that week with the team and what they're doing with the players. But Sam's mad about it?
Well, mad is not the right word. Sam, I don't want to speak for you, but you were pretty heated this morning when you and I were discussing this.
Well, no, I mean, not super heated. It's more just like how... What was I saying this morning? It's more my thing was, why do we care whether or not these people are going to be playing, these players are going to play or not? For the most part, like you said, I want my team to win. And obviously, if that's the case, you'll find out, before the game when, Christian McCaffrey takes the field, oh, he's playing good. That's going to help our team's chances. But for most people, they want to know simply because, like we said, fantasy and gambling aspects of it. And so, in my point of view, I don't really gamble, so that doesn't really impact me. And I know from the team standpoint, the teams don't care if you have money on this game. That doesn't impact them or not. So they don't really need to be transparent in that sense of the word.
Like, I always go back to, bullpens. We never hear about a bullpen arm being sore or not being available on a given day till after the game. Sean Estes was going on this rant about going to this closer as opposed to that closer, and I agreed with him. And I was like, I feel the same way. And then what happens in postgame? Bob Melvin's like, that guy couldn't pitch today.
Yep.
And it was like, that renders everything moot.
And what Sam was saying with fantasy and gambling, those things are so intertwined now, I consider them the same thing. Mm-hmm. Fantasy and gambling is the same
thing. You think they're the same?
They're the exact, yes. I don't know anyone, unless you're a 10-year-old and you're in a fun league, no one, more than 85 or 90% is all paid or you're trying to get money fantasy.
So 510 makes a great point here.
What's that?
CMC bets usually get refunded and voided if he does not play. So if you did bet an over or under on a CMC prop bet, you did get refunded because he didn't take a single snap. That's part of gambling. So you get your money back. I want to clear something up, too, with the 831. Weren't you guys saying that Wiggins owed an explanation to the feds when he was gone for personal reasons? Shasky and I, Lubman and Spadoni and I did not say he owed anybody an explanation. Those words did not come out of our mouth. We asked a question on whether or not fans wanted to hear from Andrew Wiggins. That's what we asked. But we did not believe that Andrew Wiggins owed an explanation dealing with personal issues. So don't put that out there. Just wanted to clear that up because
I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
That was a very sensitive subject around here.
Well, and this is an interesting, little thing. And 415, 99% of the public didn't know he was going to play. But there is that 1% that has, the inside information.
Right.
And that makes it a problem. See, it's hard for me to understand the dynamics of it. So you're shaking your head isn't there always going to be inside information?
There's always going to be inside information. But a lot of the people around the media, if somebody in the media, nobody was reporting Friday, there's a chance Christian McCaffrey's not going to play. We just assumed that, it's day to day. He's practicing. He's questionable, but it sounds like he's going to play.
But he's also not Monday, the first or last 49er
right.
that I've seen be game time decision and not play.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole life, whether I've been in fantasy or not, there's been guys like he's going to test out his ankle pregame or whatever, and either he plays or he doesn't play.
We'll get to Egger real quick in a second here. Egger, hang tight, Egger. I want to get this point out. Well, like last year, Minnesota. Brock Purdy supposedly suffered a concussion, or he did, right?
Yeah.
And then he got cleared that Friday without practicing. Now, they cleared him, and they didn't tell us the severity of the concussion, but as a gambler, there was no way I was betting on Brock Purdy that Sunday on a short week against Cincinnati, coming off a bye week, knowing that he's had concussion symptoms. Things are getting a little weird. And then you don't have Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel, so I don't care if they disclosed it or not. I saw with my own two eyes, Brock Purdy got rocked. And he's not playing well without Deebo and Trent Williams.
Well, it's interesting because, like, he was listed as doubtful for weeks on end.
Right.
And on the injury report. I know Belichick for years, Tom Brady, shoulder.
Yep.
Every week for years on end, almost to cover himself.
Well, football players, I mean, they got bounties out there. You remember Greg Williams, everybody?
It was Greg Williams.
Yeah, it was just not even Greg Williams. Bounties, I heard bounties happening in high school. Guys in the triple, they're beef fans. Betting, Washington Galileo games, side bets. My boy's going to knock your boy out the game, man. I got 500 on it right now. Like bounties. And then they look at that player, hey, I got 500 on this. And that player's like, oh, I'm going to get a little cut of that. It happens in football. Yeah, they see the injuries and stuff. So that's why you got to fake the fuck. Tom Brady may have a knee injury, but I'm going to put shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to dupe people into knowing that. And then now, obviously, when you play, those teams will see like, oh, it's not the shoulder that's bothering. It may be the knee. It may be the ankle. So they figure it out pretty quickly.
It's just whenever I buy a ticket, and again, this is not gambling, but when I buy a ticket, I know there's a lot of unknowns. Guy could leave a game in a minute in. Yep. Like, for example, think of the game Clay and Draymond got ejected before the game even started.
Yeah.
It was like, 40 seconds into the game?
A minute and a half into the game.
Okay, whether you bought a ticket or you gambled, you didn't know that was going to happen.
Right.
So I do believe there's an element of chaos just when it comes to sports, and it's kind of baked into the equation. Yep. So more than anything, and Dave Fleming hit on this, I feel bad that Jordan Mason's unbelievable moment is robbed because, and I know we're talking about it, and I'm just asking fans how they feel about it. Like, it just sucks that we're parsing together this young man's words, and we're looking to do the, gotcha, because there is a lot of money involved in all of this, and people are gambling significant amounts. And when the leagues take the money, and it's this transparent, people are asking, where's the accountability? And I'm asking, should there even be any accountability? Yeah.
Well, let's go to Edgar and Fresno. Edgar and Fresno, what's